exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Could you imagine a man with this much pride and boasting who will declare one day he is God and will sit in the temple of Jerusalem midway the tribulation time and declare he's God and that everybody's got to worship him? And if you don't take his mark, you can't buy or sell. You can't see the doctor. This world is in for a horrible day, and it's on the horizon. The Bible says, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, Paul said, I told you these things. And now we know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And here's our text for today. And you ought to mark this in your Bible. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with all the brightness of his coming. May God bless the reading of his word. Loving God, thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you that we can come to this place of worship, coming here as children of God, been saved by the grace of God, come here to worship you and praise you, to thank you, and to renew our commitment to our God, who is holy. Praying, Lord, thy will be done. And Lord, as we look about us today and we look into the Word of God today, we see the nearing of the fulfillment of what we've just read in your Word, that the coming of the day of the Lord is drawing nigh. And such a terrible time that this world has never known is soon to be upon the masses of people unprepared for it. God, control my mind, my thoughts, my all, because I'm nothing. I'm helpless. You put me here. Help me, Lord, for Jesus and the good of my brothers and sisters in Christ's name. For the Bible says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The word iniquity, would you like to know what that word really means? You might want to write it down in the margin of your Bible and tie it to iniquity. The word iniquity means lawlessness. Now, take that meaning that I've just told you and look at our society today. Look at what's going on in our country and in the world today. Lawlessness. Even our law is being gunned down every day. The people that's to protect us are hated today. Many of them can't even go into some of the restaurants. They're not welcome there. Isn't that bad? Folks, we're in a sad state today. Let me tell you something else. Winston Blackmore was found guilty of having 24 wives and 149 children. I said that right. He's got 24 wives and 49 children. And I think it's in another country. It's not in this country. But we got them about as bad. That's Mormons. They think because of their religion, they have that right. This guy was charged, but he pleaded in court that that was his belief, and he had a right to believe that and have as many wives as he wanted. Another guy was also there at the same time, James Oler. He's 53. He was found guilty of having five wives and 11 children, and they're Mormons. That's their religious belief. Lawlessness. This week, some man in his late 30s went into a newspaper office and with a shotgun. The shotgun's getting famous now. They started using the shotgun. That way they don't miss. Kill five people. Because he had an incident with those people in the past. Several others was injured. The headlines of every newspaper, if you look on Fox News website, you'll just see incident after incident of man living godlessly, hating people, despising people. Lawlessness, folks, is the rule today. I'm troubled at all the lost people that's around us today. It troubles me. I can only speak for myself. They have no interest in God. They have no interest in their own soul. They think, today's the way I want to live, the way I want to live. And that's the way I'm going to live. And you can't tell me any different, because I got my rights. All around us, we have the Bible, we have churches, we have people talking about heaven on the radio, televisions, newsletters, magazines, tracts. Yeah, talking about Jesus Christ. But you know what? They're not listening. You know why they're not listening? They're not interested. But you know something else? That's not going to keep them from not being condemned, because God has got it out there. If they don't choose to listen, that's their fault. Because the Word of God cuts both ways. It cuts going out, and it cuts coming back. If you don't want to hear it, it'll get you that way. You can't get around God, folks. Best way to face it up. Now, I know probably everybody in here is all right. But those people that didn't want to come, didn't want to hear, they're going to be just as guilty. Because God had it there for them. They didn't want it. I strain my brain nearly every day trying to think of some manner to get people's attention and get them to see the pearl of their condition. People need salvation all around us today. Many people today think they're saved. They're not no more saved than a grasshopper. They got some religion. They might believe there's a God, but that's it. There's so many people today that when they die, they're going to find out their salvation was not salvation. What they think of God is irrelevant if they die without Christ as their Savior, though. If you don't believe the way the Bible teaches, you're going to be missing out. Well, I believe my way. Well, your way ain't right. You got to believe God's way. God's way is, I'm a sinner. I'm condemned. I need a Savior. God's offered one. He's provided one. What you going to do with my son, God says? Everywhere we look today, people are rushing about seeking things to make them happy. They're pursuing jobs, careers, pleasure in the hopes of finding fulfillment in their lives. I got to have this. I got to have that. I always wanted one of them. We talk about those without Jesus. They seem to have no fear of or concern about the intimate danger of Jesus coming and finding them in their sin. I try to imagine day after day, I have this in my mind. I think about the look that's going to be on people's faces when the rapture takes place and they're left. Do y'all ever think about the people that's going to be left? Did you know there's going to be a crowd that's going to be happy when we're snatched out? They're going to be so happy. That's what I believe. This is what's happening now, that what God is doing now. Our country is just gaining now financially. People's got jobs. People's making more money. And one side of the government and the country is doing real well, and the other side's over there just complaining. You couldn't satisfy them with candy. They're going to find some fault. For example, this past yesterday, I believe it was, they had all these marches because of children separated from their parents. They're mad at Trump. Let me tell you something, folks. This was going on for the last several administrations. They didn't say nothing about it then. There's some people you can't satisfy to save your life. Lawlessness. Wickedness. The devil's crowd. And I just imagine when the rapture happened, how happy initially they're going to be because we're all out of their hair, Brother Chavis. But it won't take them long before the wrath of God begins to sober them up. They go to getting hungry because they can't get something to eat. They can't see the doctor. Church, you better shape up. Amen. You better be that light that people see that Christ made a difference in your life. That's what you're supposed to do, and I'm supposed to do. I got to be different. If I'm a child of God, I got to be different. You got to be different too. It ain't just me. You say you're a Christian, you got to be different too. I went with my brother to Sanford this week. He was back there in the clinic being attended to. There was another lady back there being attended to. And she left three children out there in the waiting room where I was at. One of them was in the fifth grade. One was in the eighth or ninth grade. And the other was in the 11th grade. Children that, intelligent acting children. So I got to talking to them. I said, y'all go to church? No. Y'all don't go to church? No. I just happened to have some tracks. So I gave each one of those three girls a track. Are y'all ready for what I'm about to tell y'all? I gave each one of those girls a track about how to be saved, go to heaven. And they were looking at their track, reading their track, and their mother come out. And she went up to the desk to check out. And well, her little girls got up and they ambled over there where she was at. And one of them still had her track out, apparently looking at it. And her mother saw it. And others, they show her their tracks. down in her pocketbook or somewhere. Can you imagine mom not wanting her children to know about God? Can y'all imagine that? That's the kind of world we live in, folks. Mama don't want the children to know about the Lord. I tried. Now I won't be charged, will I? But what about that mama? What if her three children goes to hell because of her actions? And they could. Lawlessness. Hated. Haters of God. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. Does anybody not understand that? If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're doomed. In fact, already God's wrath is hanging over your head, waiting to execute you. Because God has already found everybody guilty now. Amen. He's already found everybody guilty, and now his wrath is over every unsaved person. Just wait to execute them, and he's got a day to set to execute them. And if they're executed before they get saved, too bad. He's just giving you time. And God don't say, I'm going to give you 80 years or 70 years. God don't say he's going to give you another day. We have a salvation box here in our church. Do you pray for the people in it? We have the names of people who are in our family, friends, co-workers, and others. And we pray for salvation for these people. At least I do. I can only speak for myself. I know it's the prayers and concerns of God's people that cause people to get saved. Praying for other people, God will hear. God does hear. How many mothers have prayed for their children and their children got saved? Amen? I also know that the Holy Spirit does the convicting work and draws every one of us to Christ. I know that. But that prayers are important to get people saved. Prayer is important to keep you living right. And me too. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they believe not on me. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us that we need to be saved. I remember how miserable I was before I ever got saved. Why don't that man shut up and let me get out? That's the Holy Spirit's working, folks. You miserable today? You got sin. Either unconfessed sin as a Christian or as a lost person. I've sinned because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged, Jesus said in John 16, 7 through 11. The Holy Spirit was sent after Jesus went back to heaven to convict us, to draw us to Christ. But the Holy Spirit also does something else. When that time comes and we've lose a loved one or a friend, you know the Holy Spirit can comfort too. He comforts too. Thank God for the comfort and presence of the Holy Spirit. His name is the Comforter. Things that were not yet known would be revealed in lawlessness as time goes by, the Apostle Paul says. Things that we never heard tell of, as time moved along, the Holy Spirit would reveal things. Look at the sins that we know in our society that wasn't in a generation ago. Identity theft, for example. People stealing other people's money through electronics out of the banks. Even today, we see things we knew nothing about when we were young. Technology has been a wonderful thing. But along with the blessings of technology, it's been corrupted by evil and wicked men. The deep secret power of iniquity, lawlessness, just opposite the power of godliness. Godliness preserves the nation. Godliness blesses your life. If I go around this room today and said, you want your life to be blessed? Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I want God to bless me. We then live righteously. Right? You live righteous, God will bless you. The deep secret power of iniquity, just the opposite of the power of godliness, is already working. What's going on in our society today? Lawlessness is preparing the way for the Antichrist. That's what Paul said. Lawlessness is at work by Satan, preparing for the wicked one to be revealed. And that moment is coming. You look at the different false teachers there are today under the umbrella of Christianity. Just like Mormonism goes as Christianity. But Jesus said when you get married, a man and a wife. He didn't say a man and wives. And here's this man with how many wives did he have? 24? He's trying to catch up with Solomon, ain't he? Human intervention are added to the written word of God today. Rituals and ceremonies have come along through Catholicism and other denominations. They got all kind of rituals that you got to go through with and ceremonies. Christianity don't have that, folks. You know what the Bible teaches about Christianity? That we come to church and we sing to the Lord. We pray. We read the scriptures. They're taught. They're preached. We go home. That's all the Bible tells us. It don't say a thing about having some rituals. You know, I invited someone out here a year or so ago to preach. You know what they asked me? Will it be all right if I wear a robe? I said, well, I ain't never wore one. So they didn't wear one. What's wearing a robe got to do with being spiritual? Ding dong, trying to look religious, folks. We don't need rituals and ceremonies. We just need God's Word. God gave us His Word. That's how we come to worship God, by His Word. We come out here hopefully, to know what the Lord says so I can take what the Lord says into my life and go and live my life the way the Lord says to live it. Not by the way I want to live. The flesh don't want to live the way the Lord says to live. That's the reason Romans chapter 6 is so important in your Bible. The Bible says deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. We have to learn to say no at times, folks. We can't let our flesh and what I think and what I feel control our lives. The time is coming in the future when the wicked one, who is the embodiment of evil, will be disposed of in the lake of fire, however. That's his end. He's not on the scene yet. We who are Christians won't ever know who he is. But a lot of people who say they're Christians will know who he is because they weren't really saved. They had religion. This mystery, the Apostle Paul said, is already at work in the false doctrines and the false teachers that Peter, Paul, John, and the other writers said there'd be many of them in the last days. Sounding good, but were false in their teaching. If there was false teachings in the apostles' day, what about today? Look how many different Bibles we got today. Look how many different kind of churches we got today. Some of them are teaching you can lose your salvation. Some of them teachings that you can't be saved unless you're baptized. I mean, there's all kind of teachings out there. Jesus said, he that believeth on him is saved, folks. Salvation is by faith. It's not by doing anything. Anything I do don't count. I got to believe on Jesus Christ. Salvation is a gift that's received by believing, by faith. And even the Holy Spirit gives you the faith to believe. Salvation is not of anything at all we do, according to the Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. How much plainer do you need it? And yet we got all these kind of churches out there of every description with their own type of theology. Let me share with you some of the mysteries that are far too many, that far too many people do not know. Some will not even believe it, but it's still true according to God's word, that sinners are dead. Sinners are dead to God. What do you mean, preacher, sinners are dead? They don't know God. Now, God knows all about them and their sin, but they don't know God. Sinners are dead in their sins. That means they're separated from God. And you, he said to the church at Ephesus, who had believed in Jesus, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, if you really believe, and you must really believe for him to do this, he'll quicken you. He'll make you alive unto God so you can know God. You can't know God till he does that. You know God? You got to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. When you repent of your sin and you turn from that way of sin to follow Jesus Christ in His way. Christians were once dead in their sins, but upon believing in Jesus, they are made alive unto God. Lost people must realize they are sinners and dead to God. They do not know Him, cannot know Him until they repent of their sin and believe in Jesus as their Savior. The Bible says, listen to this verse. You might ought to mark this in your Bible because it's such an important verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Jesus died so that all could be saved. I'm so glad the love of God is so great that when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, He died so everybody could be saved. All they must do is repent of their sin, say, God, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner, but I want You to forgive me. You must come like a child, Jesus said, acknowledging I need to be saved. I've done wrong. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner from birth. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, your lawlessness, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. God doesn't hear sinners unless they're repented. Calling on Jesus. That's the only time He's obligated to hear the sinner. Sinners are blind, number two. They're not only dead, they're blind spiritually. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds, the mind, the ability to reason and think, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan blinds people. He don't want them to get saved. Satan blinds by, just like that lady I talked about a while ago, keep her children from hearing about salvation. Keep them in the dark. Now, if somebody goes ahead and gets saved, if a sinner gets saved anyway, well, Satan will come along and say, well, hey, don't get too serious about this thing now that you're saved. You know what he's doing? Keep you from having a testimony. Keeping you from having an impact on somebody else. And he'll also suggest, hey, you'll have to give up too much pleasure, too much fun if you get too serious. And you don't really have to give all that money. That's just a greedy preacher. That's the way Satan works. He blinds people. They can't think straight. They can't think right. He don't want to give them up. And he gets mad at them when they forsake him. So he goes this other angle. Don't get too excited about being saved. Because you can't do this or you can't do that. The scriptures are very clear that Satan has blinded the minds of the unsaved. This means they do not understand their true condition before God. You know, people, how often do you hear people say, well, if they go to heaven, I know I'll go because I'm as good as they are. That's the way they reason. Why do they reason like that? Blind? God has not taken a crowd to heaven by what we do. God's taken a crowd to heaven because of who we are. We're born again. We've been born again. We've repented. We've trusted Christ. The Bible says that we're scarcely saved anyway. Did you know you're scarcely saved if you're saved? Did you know only the blood of Jesus is going to get you in? Folks, our country is going to pot. And the church of Jesus Christ is the only force that's holding back lawlessness. And the weaker the church becomes, the more overflowing lawlessness is. I tell you what, we got another Supreme Court judge resigning, and that puts Trump in the position of putting a conservative judge on the federal bench. We may have war this summer. Because there's going to be so much divisiveness. They're scared to death. We're going to get, the court will get rid of abortion. They don't know they're damning themselves. Isn't that something? They're damning themselves with this abortion thing. God hates abortion. He's going to hold our country for all the babies that's been killed. It's murder to God. God says, don't you shed innocent blood. Is anything more innocent than a baby? Tell me, is it? For by the grace of God, ye are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In 1 John 2:11, we see that not only are sinners blind, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So we just talked about the mind. The God of this world's blinded the minds. Now we see he's blinded the eyes of people. Satan's on the ball, folks. He gets a person every way he can because he don't want to let them out. Sinners are Satan's slaves. And only Jesus can get them out. Only Jesus can free you, folks. You ever think about dying and being in hell forever? That's where people's going to be at forever. When they die without Christ. When they die without salvation. Sin blinds the eyes of sinners. Look at the hate in our country today. Sinners do not see the truth of the Holy Scriptures. That you gotta be born again. They think if you just belong to the church, get in Catholicism and let them sprinkle a little bit of water on you and write your name down in their book, and you got salvation. That's what they think. Or just join some other church. I'm all right now. You're not all right unless you're born again. Do you know you're born again, church? Millions of people have discovered the truth of the Bible down through the centuries. That's a good testimony, isn't it? I think about C.S. Lewis. Boy, he was a genius. Boy, he was a brain. He was an atheist. But he finally decided, I'm going to prove there ain't no God. And he got to reading the Bible, studied the Bible. He come to find out he got saved. He got saved. And he was an atheist. Others the same way. They get saved if you really study this old book. because the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. It brings conviction, draws people to Christ. Those in Satan's kingdom are doomed and do not know the seriousness of their condition. People today, we look around us today, people out of church, people unconcerned, they don't understand how serious their condition is. It's pitiful, folks. The seriousness of people's condition, they don't even know it. Lastly, sinners are deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Listen to this, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving other people, yet they're being deceived themselves. I've said many times that a person that's deceived, they don't know they're deceived. They think they've got it all together in what they believe. Satan has tremendous power. The Bible says Satan has deceived the whole world. I've been deceived. You've been deceived. Amen. Remember back in the Garden of Eden, listen to this, folks. Get this. This is Satan's power now. Back in the Garden of Eden, Satan deceived Eve into eating forbidden fruit, and she was not even a sinner. She wasn't even a sinner and got deceived. Think about that. Adam and Eve weren't deceived. They weren't sinners. They got deceived, or she did, but he didn't. He knew what he was doing. Satan's a powerful rascal, folks. You can't outsmart him, save your life. You can't outsmart the devil. So we see he has awesome power, and no one is smarter than the devil except Jesus. Jesus. God does not want anybody to be lost. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can you see the heart of God wanting everybody to be saved? Can you see the heart of God loving everybody as much as he loves you? Can you see the pain that God experienced in allowing his only son to die such an awful death to save sinners like us? Yeah, he loved us enough to sacrifice his only son. The mystery of iniquity is at work, deceiving people. The mystery of iniquity is setting everything up for the wicked one to come. They've got the chips ready now. Israel's sitting over there in her land. They've got the materials to build a temple. They've already got the clothes for the high priest. They got all the utensils. Everything is getting set up, folks. It ain't going to be a whole lot much longer. But the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness, is working like leaven in flour, getting ready to reveal the wicked one that the world is going to love to death when he comes on the scene, because he's going to seemingly have the answer to the predicament that has come about since the church left. But then he's going to change his tune on them and demand to be worshipped by everybody. People going to see their pearl too late. And Jesus himself said it's going to be the worst time of human history. Now, we've read about some bad times, but the worst time is coming. So, when you turn on your TV or you read the paper and you read about all the shootings, all the riots, all the anger, all the bitterness, all the hate, all the confusion, the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness is at work, getting things ready for the wicked one. And I believe he's about to be revealed, but he can't be till the church is snatched out, the real believers. Are you a real believer? You know what real believers should be doing? Praying for salvation for these. You know what real believers should be doing? Living like a real believer. Being concerned about other people. Give out some tracts. See if somebody else will take them or throw them away. At least you've done your part. At least you've done your part. Loving God, this is what we had today to tell the church about. The mystery of iniquity. Lawlessness that's going on, setting everything up for the wicked one to be revealed. Oh, blessed God, help us to get our minds off of worldliness and get our minds focused on Jesus Christ, to love Him, to serve Him, to share Him. Oh, God, help us, Lord God, help us. I pray in Jesus' precious saving name. Amen and amen. You know, the altar is always open at Country Bible Baptist to come and pour out your heart to the Lord. We need to pour out our heart to the Lord, church, because only the Lord can help us. Only the Lord is able to help us. And we need the Lord definitely to help us. Amen? We definitely need the Lord to help us. Because we see lawlessness everywhere, in our communities, in our nation. It's just pitiful. And the only avenue we have of combating it is living like we're supposed to be living as God's people. Living for the Lord. And sharing the Lord. And there ain't no shortcuts. There are not any shortcuts. But thank God, as Christians, we can go right straight to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ, to the one who's sovereign over it all and whose mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Loving God, thank you for this day that you allowed us to come here today to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord. Thank you for allowing me to stand here today and to warn this congregation of the lawlessness that's going on, that setting the stage for the wicked one to be revealed. Lord, stir up the hearts and the mind of this body of believers, Lord, that they'd be concerned. Lord, stir us up. That we might be intervening on the behalf of those that know not the Savior. And I thank you that you let us come today, Lord, on this beautiful Sunday to worship the true God, the living God, the eternal God, who is the Father of ever born again believer. In Jesus' name I pray as I give thanks. Amen and amen.